I stood with my hand on the handle of the third door. The rule of three, Miss Winter had said. But I wasn't in the mood for her story anymore. Her dangerous house with its indoor rain and trick mirror had lost its interest for me. I would go to the village store. I would telephone a taxi, go to the station, and from there, home. All this I would do in a minute. For the time being, I wanted to stay like this, head leaning against the door, fingers on the handle, indifferent to whatever was beyond, and waiting for the tears to pass and my heart to calm itself. I waited. Then, beneath my fingers, the handle to the third room began to turn of its own accord. I ran. I jumped over the holes in the floorboards, leapt down the stairs three at a time, lost my footing and lunged at the handrail for support. I grasped at a handful of ivy, stumbled, saved myself and lurched forward again. I half fell several times as my feet scrabbled through the detritus of the broken house. At last, inevitably, I crashed to the ground, and a wild cry escaped my lips.
"Oh, dear, oh, dear, did I startle you? Oh, dear!"
I stared back through the archway. Leaning over the gallery landing, I saw not the skeleton or monster of my imaginings, but a giant. He moved smoothly down the stairs, stepped daintily and unconcernedly through the debris on the floor, and came to stand over me with an expression of the utmost concern on his face.
"Oh, my goodness!"
He must have been 6 foot 4 or 5 and was broad, so broad that the house seemed to shrink around him.
"I never meant, you see, I only thought, because you've been there some time and... But that doesn't matter now, because the thing is, my dear, are you hurt?"
I felt reduced to the size of a child, but for all his great dimensions, this man too had something of a child about him. Too plump for wrinkles, he had a round, cherubic face and a halo of silver-blonde curls sat neatly around his balding head. His eyes were round like the frames of his spectacles. They were kind, and they had a blue transparency. I must have been looking dazed and pale too, perhaps. He knelt by my side and took my wrist.
"My, my, that was quite a tumble you took. If only I should never have..."
Pulse a bit high, My shin was stinging. I reached to investigate a tear in the knee of my trousers, and my fingers came away bloodied.
"Dear, oh dear, it's the leg, is it? Is it broken? Can you move it?"
I wriggled my foot, and the man's face was a picture of relief.
"Thank goodness, I should never have forgiven myself. Now you stay there while I'll just get the... back in a minute."
And off he went. I took a deep breath and waited.
"I've put the kettle on," he announced as he returned. "Camping stove, you know."
It was a proper first aid kit he had with him, white with a red cross on it, and he took out an antiseptic lotion and some gauze. He winced with pain as he pressed the stinging pad against my cut shin.
"Now, does it sting very badly?"
"Only a bit."
"Good girl. Quite a tumble that was. Now tea? Lemon and sugar all right? No milk, I'm afraid. No fridge."
"Lemon will be lovely."
"Right. Well, let's make you comfortable. Tea outdoors?"
He went to the grand old double door at the front of the house and unlatched it. With a creak smaller than one expected, the doors swung open and I began to get to my feet.
"Don't move!"
The giant danced back toward me, bent down and picked me up. I felt myself being raised into the air and carried smoothly outside. He sat me sideways on the back of one of the black cats I'd admired an hour earlier.
"You wait there, and when I come back, you and I will have a lovely tea."
And he went back into the house. His huge back glided up the stairs and disappeared into the entrance of the corridor and the third room.